Hey, hey, welcome to the No Onions Podcast, where we talk to actors, we talk to filmmakers, we talk to producers, we talk to fans, we talk to anybody who is in this whole acting world, and we talk to them about their unpopular opinions about popular productions. Today, I'm so excited, man. I got this person today, man. I feel like most of y'all gonna probably already know him. He's an actor extraordinaire. And he's not just talented, but the boy is skilled. He is trained. You've seen him with your major production companies. You've seen him with WOW. You've seen him with Trustis Theater. You've seen him at the University of South Carolina. Of course, you've seen him in a few of Corey John's stories. He killed it as Walter Lee in A Raisin in the Sun. He's an incomparable photographer, husband, man of God, father, and so much more. Listen, I introduced to you guys, to some of you, but present to most of you, none other than my brother, Deion DK Turner.
What's up, bro? What's up, man? That intro is crazy. Thank you, man. You made me sound like somebody.
You are, bro. You are, man. I'm so happy you came, man. Like, I know we've been talking about it for a minute, and, you know, with scheduling and all the stuff you got going on, you know, I know it's been hard, but I'm glad you finally here, bro. Yeah, man. I can't wait to chop it up, man. Before we get into it, I always kind of like to tell the people why I chose you, you know, or why I want you on. You know, we go way back to when you was illegal, but you were still acting, you know what I'm saying, doing your thing, man. And you've always been humble, but you've always been confident. And it's so rare that you get somebody who can successfully execute both of those characteristics, man. And you just do it so effortlessly, man. And I'm so blessed to have you.
I'm glad you saw that in me, because at the time I thought I was everything but confident.
Really?
You know, that's all God, man. I'm glad that I didn't radiate what I felt inside. You know, most times, you know what I'm saying? Like, somebody that, but sometimes you can like radiate something to people that blesses them, and even though inside you might feel like, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But there's something that you carry that touches people, and I'm just humbled that you saw that in me at that young age.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely, man. And you know, me and my wife, we talk all the time. Like, we be like, yo, Deion gonna make it. Like, the boy is like, he's there. He's, you know, he has every if there was a toolkit or a blueprint for success, like, it's like, you're it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man, y'all trying to make me blush on the podcast. Hey, shout out to BZ. Appreciate you, BZ. Shout out to BZ.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely, man. So real quick, before we get too far into it, bro, like, if people want to book you for a show, if people just want to follow you, if people want to book you for, you know, photography, like, how can they find you? Socials?
Yeah, so on Facebook, I'm just DK Turner. If you just type in DK Turner, you'll see my big head pop up. And then I also got a photography page, which is DK Turner Photography. So if you type in DK Turner, all that stuff will pop up. On Instagram, it's Turner Photos 12. Don't ask me why the number 12 at the time. It just felt right. And it's just been there ever since.
Because of the 12 tribes.
Yeah, the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what it's there for. So Turner Photo 12 on Instagram. Yeah. And my email is book.dkturner@gmail.com. If you want to talk about doing a show, or even if you want to talk about photo shoots and stuff, book.dkturner@gmail.com.
Perfect. Thank you. Y'all rewind that and keep rewinding it, loop that so you can take notes of it and all that great stuff. Listen, bro, I'm gonna jump into something a little personal real quick. So a while back, I asked you, I said, so bro, like, how do you spell your name? like you're like, bro. Yeah, man. It's you said your mom spelled it this way on purpose, and you even told me something about the pronunciation. Please enlighten the people about
okay. So I get this question a lot, actually. I didn't think this was gonna become a thing, but it's a thing now. Mm-hmm. So on my socials, right? I'm DK Turner, right? And that's my initials, and that kind of came out of the spur of the moment. I was like, I'm just gonna start going by DK, right? Because like my art, like a lot of people know my art before they know me.
Yeah.
So they will see my photos, or they'll see, you know, they'll come see a show or something, and they'll know me as the artist, but then they don't really know me as Deion. So DK kind of became like its own thing. But you got, you know, a couple of people like, you know, you're one of those people where it's like, nah, you Deion. Like, yeah. I don't know what his DK message is. I mentioned it was Deion. Yeah. Coming to America, his mom named Clay. I'm gonna call him Clay. Yeah. So I got people who like, if my name is Deion, I'm gonna call him Deion. So, you know, but the proper spelling is D-E-O-N. Now the proper spelling, which is on the government, is D-E apostrophe capital O-N. I don't know. My mom was trying to be fancy. They was trying to combine my names together. I don't know, but that's the government way.
So is the pronunciation different? So is it Deion? Like, you know what I'm saying? Are we supposed to pause? Like, what's the
man? It's just Deion, man. It's just Deion. I mean, some people do ask me. They say, is it Deion? Like, is it a silent Y in there, or is it D? On, I'm like, bro, it's just DK, man.
I was like, D on, because he owned D on.
He's on. Deion, it's just Deion. Yeah.
That's what's up. So, hey, so I've known you, I can't even count the years. Because I think I met you before I met my current wife. So it's been at least 10 years.
Yeah.
So, bro, like, you like, you think so you've been acting the whole time.
Yeah
so that's a lot of years in the game, bro.
It's crazy when I really think about it, because you know time is going so fast.
Yeah,
well, when I think about it and you sit down and you start to think about all the shows, because as an actor, you know, as other actors, they understand this, you kind of measure your life by shows. So you're like, oh, at that point of my life I was in that show. And then I was in that show. So when you start to like really keep track of all your shows and you look, it's like, oh shoot, I've been like over 30 shows. How'd that happen? Right. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you're automatically Denzel, but it just means like you said, you've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
So like you said, I met you, I probably was a junior in high school.
Wow.
Maybe just became a senior in high school when I met you. I started acting seriously my sophomore year of high school. So I've been going seriously since then. And wow. I'm in my third year of grad school after taking a several years break in between undergrad and grad. So I've been doing this a long time.
You out here, bro. That's what's up. So we talked about Denzel, and anytime somebody bring up Denzel, I feel like you can't just like breeze by Denzel.
Yeah, you can't glance past
Denzel. One thing that I kind of admire about Denzel, like a lot of us, we take acting really seriously, and I think we should. You know, I think portraying somebody on screen is a big responsibility, because you have to be honest to that person so that the viewer can really understand, you know, the story, right? So, but one thing I heard Denzel say, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember it verbatim, he said something along the lines of, it's just acting, you know, like basically, like. Yeah, you overcomplicate it. It's just acting.
Like, it's not that serious. Like, it's not hard.
Yeah. So what's your approach, man? Because like, and I asked that because I've seen you. I've seen you go from real serious, like bad guy to real, you know, hungry, you know, with this beautiful arc storyline, and like, you know, how do you get into those places acting like?
So let me circle back to what Denzel said.
Yeah.
So in the context, if I remember right, because he said this several times, but he was talking about hard jobs. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, you know, he used to be a trash man at one point. And he was saying, that's hard.
That's a hard job. Yeah.
Like, that's a hard job, right? He was in New York. So you waking up, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning, hauling trash for hours. He said, that's hard. He said, standing in front of a camera, you know, being a character, that's easy. So he was comparing it like, you know, that's hard work. He was really saying we're grateful to be able to do this and actually make a living acting on camera or on stage, because I believe that's where the real acting is. Mm-hmm. But so back to my personal beliefs, I just kind of already slid into it. I think being an actor requires a very intentional, how can I put this? You have to be very intentional about your emotions. Mm. And as Black men, that's non-existent growing up for most of us.
Yeah, 100%.
For most of us, not all. But most of us growing up, it's like, Emotions. What? How do you spell that? What is that? Is that a different language? Is that Chinese? Like, what emotions? What does that mean? Crying? Yeah. Oh, you better not be caught crying in public, right? So if you're coming from that, and then you say, "I want to be an actor," you're gonna have like these mental blocks, emotional blocks, because you're fighting against what you've been programmed to not do, right? Mm-hmm. So, in a way, I think acting actually is very difficult, but not in the sense of it's hard to get up and do it, right? It's difficult because you have to tap into who you are in order to become somebody else.
Ooh, bro. Yeah. Yeah. Bro, if it's, I don't know what rating the show is, but second season, I don't know what rating it is, but I almost said something. But so let's like parlay there, right? Because because for sure, bro, like I Kenny Cross, Kendrick the Poet. Like he and I was like real cool when he was, you know, before he acted full time, right? And he used to always tell me, man, like one of his things was acting is being yourself on camera as somebody else. And it's like, and like when you first hear it, it was like, wait, what? You know, how do I be myself as somebody else? But I feel like that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can, if you take Denzel, if you take Will, if you take Samuel Jackson, and you make all three of them Steve Urkel, they're all going to execute it differently. Right. You know what I'm saying? Same character.
Yeah, I try to imagine Denzel, Steve Urkel does not. Because there was a Sesame Street episode that Denzel was on, and he was like this, I think he was like a librarian or something. He had like the bow tie and the glasses, and he was kind of nerdy, and he was still cool.
Yeah,
I'm like, bro, like this. I mean,
Denzel ain't never without swag, bro. Bro,
there's a movie he did, I think it's called Roman.
Roman Esquire. He had the big, big fro thing.
I mean, he was still kind of cool though. Like, he was weird, he was quirky, but it's still Denzel. Yeah. So, like, to your point, and like what Kenny said, and it's funny because Kenny actually worked with my mom at Blue Cross before he went on, you know, to do his acting thing.
I used to work with him at Blue Cross too.
Oh, that's dope. That's the man. Yep. Work for Blue Cross. And and it's funny because he also was part of the Nia company, which is created by Darian McLeod, which I'm part of the Nia company right now. So it's like just a small world, right? And then I saw him on Stranger Things like what, 2 years ago, and I was like, oh, that's Kenny. But
I just saw
he was a poet, right?
He was Kenny. He was a poet, right?
So shout out to Kenny. Hey, shout out to Kenny. Putting on for the family. Yeah, facts. But like I was saying, you can't really be anything but yourself. So even as an actor, and you're trying to bring this character that somebody else created, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody else wrote this character into existence. But watch this. They wrote that character into existence with parts of themselves in it. So 100%. You can't not be yourself. Now, God has blessed us with an imagination.
Yeah.
Which is one of the most powerful things about us, that we can imagine things, right? One of the first things we learn about God, I'm not going to turn this to a sermon. One of the first things we learn about God, Genesis 1:1, is that God created the heavens and the earth. So we see first in the Bible that God is creative. That's the first thing we learn about God. Not that he's good, not that he's love, not that he's all powerful, almighty. He's all those things and more. But the first thing we learn is that he's creative. 100%. Then we learn a few scriptures down that we were made in his image. So it doesn't mean we look like God because he's a spirit, but we were given his characteristic and attributes.
Yeah.
So we have that creative power in us.
Yeah.
So we're able to create things. We're able to imagine things. So acting is creativity.
Yeah.
Right? That's what makes you stand out from the next person, is your imagination. Yeah. I can read this role if we're going in for an audition. And it's a cold read, which means for the new actors, a cold read is where they give you a side from the script and you just read it straight up in the audition room.
Right.
I will read that cold read different first than 100 other people, right? Because of no one, those other 100 people are not me.
Yeah. And to put a pin right there too, like I always tell actors too, because you know I do a lot of like trying to help people, like do some side coaching or helping people like kind of direct their careers or whatever. But like I always tell people, like if you don't get casted after audition, it's okay. Right. It does not mean you're a bad actor.
Right.
You right. know, sometimes right. it just means what you bring to that character isn't what they wanted, and that's okay. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, and a lot of people, have quit, you know, because they didn't get cast in an audition. And, you know, and like we kind of went through, like, you know, being a character is about what you bring to that, you know, to that character, to that role. Right. And it's okay that what you bring to that isn't what somebody else is looking for. Because, like you said, because the person who wrote that or is casting for that put themselves, a piece of themselves in that. So they're looking for somebody who maybe looks like them. You know what I'm saying?
To a degree, Yeah. Or even someone who's the opposite of them.
Right.
Because they might be like, ah, you actually too much like me. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's
whatever that is.
There are things that's out of our control. Yeah. You know, I've been not casting stuff because I'm too tall. Right. I'm 6'5". So if I'm walking in 6'5" and I'm super talented, but the leading lady is 5'4", I mean, they might say, "Man, DK, you're great, but
bro, this is one of the reasons why I was like, we can't, because I remember one time we tried to do this and we was like, we got like 15, 20 minutes. This is why we can't do it short. Bro, so I'm, and every time you throw something, I'm like, come back, because that whole thing, I remember auditioning for something, and and it wasn't even audition. I'm sorry, I was in a class. I was in an acting class, and I, you know, I'm a big guy, you know what I'm saying? And but back then I was a little bit smaller, but the guy was like, and I don't want to give his name because y'all gonna know who he is. But the guy who was doing the class, you know, he was like, "Listen, man, like you got the look, you got the height, like, you know, you got the acting chops, like you could be, you know, you could be out here killing this you know, this thing, this acting thing, you got right. killing it." He right. said, "But you're too big." And mm-hmm. he was like, "If you're big, you gotta be funny."
Wow. Like,
and then he was like, "Cause, you know," he also said, "You're too attractive to be next to the leading guy." Wow. "But you're too big to be the leading guy."
Whoa.
So it's so much stuff, bro, that goes into, you know what I'm saying? Like,
what did you just tell me?
Yeah, I'm like, I guess the bottom line is I need to lose weight. Okay.
You just want me to lose weight. Okay, fine.
I'm just focus on that. All right.
Oh, you know what though? But I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you being honest and vulnerable about that, because that made me think about, okay, so I teach acting too. I'm getting my master's, but they also have us teaching undergrads. So I teach intro to acting. And the number one question I get the most is, "Help me with auditions. Help me with auditions. I got to audition. Help me. I need help. What do I do?" And my approach to teaching acting comes from, it's an identity perspective, right? So I'm like, I'm all about being the person. So the world teaches, and this is going to open up a whole nother can of worms, but the world teaches do, be, have. So do certain things and you will become something, and then you can have what you want. But the Bible actually teaches be, do, have. So you already are, right, the person, and then from that identity flows activity. Mm-hmm. And then from that activity flows property, or, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to get. So for those who are like, "DK, what are you talking about?" What I'm saying is, I would spend more time becoming the best version of myself, so that I'm able to do my best, and then I can have the best. But you have to focus on becoming first. Mm. So when I say that, because somebody else might be saying, "Brother, I'm still lost." What I mean is, you have to know who you are, and then strive to become the best version of who that is. And that might not work for everybody, but that's okay, because you're not for everybody.
Yeah.
So you're not for every project.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We can go deeper because, like, outside of, you know, film, right? And I know this is a film podcast, so we'll come back to it. But like, you know, one thing that I learned growing up too is in you know, echoing what you just said, is like, a lot of times we try to pursue relationships, jobs, you know, friendships, you know, whatever. We try to pursue all those things before we become. And then what happens is we're in these relationships and we're miserable, or we're in these friendships, and as we start to become, then we see these friendships, you know, separate. And the reason is being is because you weren't who you were supposed to be first. Because if you are who you're supposed to be, then those other things will gravitate to that. You'll attract your people. You'll attract that relationship. You'll, you know, like though that job, because you are who you're supposed to be, as opposed to doing first. So yeah, I'm 100% with you on that, especially on the you know, in terms of film and acting and all that great stuff too. But yeah, that's really, really big. And it took me, I ain't gonna get my age, but I'm old. You know what I'm saying? I'm older. I'm up. You know what I'm saying?
You know, yeah. Hey, great, you know.
You know what I'm saying? but yeah, so like, and it took a minute, bro. Like, you know, but and it's so refreshing to do it that way too, bro. Because then when things happen, you don't feel like you lost anything. Like, because you're securing who you are. You know what I'm saying? So that's,
bro, man, I'm gonna say this. It's gonna be super quick. No. So, and you know this personally, but I'll keep it vague. I won't throw all the details in there. So I was a part of a theater company a long time ago, I started when I was like 17, right?
Yeah.
And at that time, I didn't know who I was really. I wasn't as confident as you know, as I may have been appearing to be. I wasn't that confident. I had low self-esteem. I was basing my identity on my relationships. So I was very much, I was very much in love with this young lady. And whatever she wanted me to be, I thought that's who I was, right? Mm. I'll say all that to say I didn't have an identity. I didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
And it was affecting my acting at the time. And I was new at acting, right? So I had a lot to learn, right? So I did some shows with this company. And I thought I think I did pretty well to say that I was kind of new still. I did pretty well. I was playing, you know, a lot of older characters because I've always been kind of mature. And I'm a giant. So I've never really played like my age. I've always played older, but you know, there was some, you know, I was insecure about myself. So there, some of that flowed into my acting and, you know, I kind of walked with my head down, kind of hunched over a little bit. It wasn't as confident. Right.
Yeah.
So that the notes I would get from the director and just some comments and stuff like that, it kind of made me feel like maybe this isn't for me or maybe I'm not good enough. Right. Okay. So I went to school. Right. And let's fast forward 10 years. So now I'm who I am today. I learned who I am. I know whose I am. Right. I know who I am and whose I am. I know what I'm put here to do. And the confidence now flows out of my identity in Christ. So now, naturally, head starts to go up a little more. Right. Stride starts to come a little bit more powerful. Right. Yeah. My activity becomes more intentional because my identity is secure. So now I go back to the same company, I audition for a show, and they're like, what? Like, so you got to remember, they're comparing who I am now to the 17-year-old. I just walked in the room, and this is not a proud moment at all. This is just the result of, like, growth. Mm-hmm. I walk into the room, and they're like, wait, Dion? Like, no way. And I'm like, yeah, I became.
Yeah. That's real. And that's a powerful testament to securing you first. You know what I'm saying? You
know, right.
And I think that's really big, man. So I'm gonna move a little bit real quick. So because I want to make sure we talk about this because we gotta talk about it on every show. So So I mean, we talked about a lot of film. We talked about, you know, production. You mentioned something that hopefully we can get to before the end of the production, because I'm gonna challenge you on it because I don't feel the same way.
Okay,
it don't happen often with me. You don't agree, so I'm interested in that. so I'm gonna come back to it. But all right. So it's called No Onions because the onions are a part of the Holy Trinity of cooking, right? Like it's onions, bell peppers, and celery.
Yep.
So what three things do you think make up a successful production? Now, narrow it down, either film or stage, but just three components that if you have these, it increases your likelihood of having a successful production.
Yeah, you know what? You know what's so funny, bro? I was just talking about this earlier today. I was just talking about stage plays and what makes them successful. That's so crazy. Wow, literally this morning I was talking about this. Did like a 2-hour sermon about this. Okay, so I'm gonna do stage plays because I'm a stage play guy, right? I'm slowly getting into film. I've done some film stuff. I want to do more film stuff. So film directors who are watching this, yes, I want to do film. But I'm just, you know, I'm kind of, my foundation is theater. Yep. And like Denzel says, hey, get on the stage. That's where you learn how to act, on the stage, because there is no take two. So once you're out there, you out there, and that audience, they expecting something. You got to give them something. So 100%. if you can do stuff on stage, or you get behind the camera, it's easy. If anything, you have to calm down because you're so used to being so expansive.
Yeah, Denzel said something like, you keep going. Denzel said something like, again, paraphrasing, that the stage is for actors.
Yep.
And film is for cinematographers.
Yep. It's the director's medium. Yeah. It's the director's medium.
Anyway, we'll come back to that. So give me a three.
We'll come back because that's a good point. That's a good topic too. But so for stage plays, I think the three things you need, absolutely need, you need a great script. You need a great script. There are a lot of projects, and there are some things that I've been watching and things that I've been trying to check out, and some local things too that I'm trying to be more intentional about, like checking out and watching, and what's the link, you know, give me the YouTube because I want to watch it, because it's a lot of talented people, especially in Columbia. Everywhere, you know, everywhere, but I'm from Columbia, South Carolina, so there's some talented people in Columbia, and there's a lot of projects that's going on that people don't know about, right? 100%. And there's a lot of projects that people don't support because it's not Netflix, Hulu, Peacock, you know what I'm saying? You know.
Hey, let me exclusive real quick. The first time I said it to anybody. Perfect Victim reached Picture Lock yesterday. I just want to say that real quick. Go ahead.
Perfect Victim, y'all gotta watch that, man. That's a great one. I know a little something about it, but so you gotta have a great script. I said all that stuff about the talent and the stuff, because you can watch something that has amazing talent. It has great intentions. It's being advertised. It's being promoted. People are watching it, but the writing is like, So no matter how talented you are, you have to have an amazing script to work with.
I agree.
It's very hard to act well with a bad script because the script is the foundation. The script is the story. If you don't use the script, then it's just improv, right?
Everything else goes according to the script.
Right. Everything. That's why I love acting, because, you know, it's all there for you. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's your job to make it come to life, because the audience is not going to sit there and read the script. They're watching you. But it's your job as the actor to read the script over and over and over and over again. Right. That's more practical acting stuff. We might get to that. Maybe not. But the script has to be tight. Okay. The characters, the story, the motivations, the subtext. What's subtext? What's not being said? Yes, the characters are saying this, but what are they not saying? Mm-hmm. If you got two lovers in a scene, they don't have to express their love to each other all through words.
Right.
It's nonverbal.
Ooh, bro, man, I got a whole soapbox for that. Like,
bro, we need a series, bro. We said this before.
we did.
More video, man, because we go there. But so you got to have a great script, okay? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you got to have great talent. You got to have great actors, right? That's pretty obvious, right? Yeah. You got to have great actors. And if you have a great script and great actors, but guess what? Here's the thing. Great actors need great direction. Because they need someone who's outside of the world that views the whole world from a bird's eye view or a sideline in the theater, and who can view the whole world and say, this picture looks nice. Oh, this looks good. This is where we're trying to go. This, you know, you need someone who, like a football team, needs a head coach.
Yeah.
You know, we always give all this love and we give all these roses and flowers to the players, but what about the coaches? But here's the thing. Somebody might say, well, it's the players. Well, guess what? When a team loses a lot, they don't fire the players, they fire the coach, because it's the coach's gig to win.
Yeah.
Right. So you need a great script, you need great actors, you need a great director. Now there are other things you need, right?
Yeah.
But those three, if you got those three and put them in an empty lot,
You got those three, and then you can do something. You can do something.
Yeah, I mean,
especially when it comes to stage plays, and I'm glad you like narrowed it down to that, because you know it's people, and I'm not going to talk badly about any other productions.
Oh, yeah, no.
But like outside of stage plays, like there are movies that have had massive box office success.
Yeah.
And then we look back on them, you know, 20 years later, and we're like, this made no sense.
Yeah, don't hold up. Yeah.
They sold drugs so they could dance.
Yeah. And
we was like, yeah, man, do it, man. You got this. You know, we was all in it, you know. If y'all probably heard it before.
That's a whole nother path to take right there. That's why I said stage plays, because movies a whole nother thing that goes into it.
Yeah, so yeah. I dig that. So real quick, because I want us to touch everything, but I want us to get through the stuff that I gotta go through. For the podcast format. So the other thing is we talk to people about their unpopular opinions, and this production we're going to kind of flip it. Normally to ask people like what they didn't like that everybody likes, so we're going to talk about something that got some not so great reviews. I think it was like a 7 out of 10 on IMDb, which is not great. You know, it's like a little above average, and so the film that you feel like is better than it was credited for, what movie is that, sir?
So everybody get ready. Brace yourself. I'm going Avatar 2, The Way of Water.
The blue people. The blue people.
I'm going Avatar 2. Avatar 2, in my opinion, is one of the most underrated films that has been produced in the last 20 years. I mean, it's underrated. Now, the first Avatar, let me say this though. The first Avatar got amazing reviews. The first Avatar blew people away because we never saw anything like that before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But Avatar 2, I feel like Avatar 2 took everything Avatar 1 did, and they were like, I feel like James Cameron was like, now check this out.
Right. No, 100%, man. Yeah. And like, I mean, you had like, bro, Zoe. Yeah, Zoe Saldana in it. Like, you know, you can't like she's and I'm not talking about physical you people. That's not what I'm talking about.
The girl
is a dope actress.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like it's crazy. I will go through her the stuff that she's done.
Yeah.
And I've never seen some of the movies, you know, because I'm not their target or whatever, target demographic. Yeah. But I'll go look just because she's in it, and I'm like, dang, this was a good movie.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything she's been a part of flop, in my opinion.
Right.
You know what I'm
saying? Right. Yeah. She's dope. And
we can argue and say she shouldn't have played a certain role.
Yeah.
Get into all that. I think she is dope, bro. And like, she killed that. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that these people are acting with, and this is the thing.
Stuff on it.
Bro, I just made a post, bro. I said, acting is childish, bro.
Yeah.
Marvel, like y'all in a big green room with toys and y'all pretending.
Stuff we used to do as kids.
Yeah.
Right. That's literally what they're doing.
Exactly, bro. Wearing a cape.
$2 million. Like, bro, like, that's why I'm like, put me in a Marvel film. I've been doing this since I was 3 years old.
Facts, bro. My mama will tell you today, I would wear a cape and have a bat. And I ride my bike and just pretend I was Superman, bro.
Man, I'll be so believable. They'll be like, dang, this dude really is Black Panther. Like, I've been doing this since I was 2 years old. Yes, I'm Black Panther.
Bro,
man, yo.
I'm trying to tell you, dog. Like, but the fact that they're able to be so convincing in those, like, to be able to get your mind focused on something really happening that is not happening.
It's not happening, bro. It's not. Like, it's not happening. It's not real. But when you watch it, I mean, you know, of course, there's a lot of CGI, there's a lot of computer, there's all this stuff. But the acting, as an actor, when you watch something like that, you're really looking for the connection.
Yeah.
And in those movies, in Avatar 2, those actors are connected. I mean, the storyline to me, I feel like is solid. It's a story of family. If you're okay, so I'm a husband, I'm a father. right? Mm-hmm. If you're a parent, if you're a spouse, you can watch that movie and get some great, great, great like things from it.
I cried, bro.
It'll take you there.
I know it's like almost 3 hours long or something.
Yeah, it's 3 hours, 15 minutes, bro.
Yeah, bro. I was in there, bro. And like me and the wife went to see it. And yeah, we was on like a little trip. I think it was our honeymoon, actually.
Okay.
We went to see it and we went to the late night movie because we didn't know it was that long. It started at midnight. Oh, shit. I'm bawling, bro. Like, bro. And then we come out like, dang, it's almost 4 o'clock.
Bro, like, it's an experience, bro. That's the thing I love about the most. It's an experience. You really feel like you are in Pandora and you are part of that world and you're so invested, especially with the second one because the kids are now involved. Yeah. So the kids are finding themselves in danger. That's then they the go part, meet a bro. Whole other tribe. And it's like, oh, they're water avatars and they have like different body shapes. And it's just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's dope, man. And a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people don't like it. So that's the unpopular opinion.
Yeah, like you said, I think the reason people don't like it is because they saw the first one and it was new. And when you see something that's new, it's almost like people who, you know, you God forgive me, I don't do this, but people who like drink liquor for the first time, you know what I'm saying? Like that initial, you know, buzz, like you spend the rest of the time trying to find it, but you don't find that first one. Yeah, that's what they say. Mm. That's, you know, whatever. So I say that to say, like, you know, when you see it the first time and it catches you off guard and you get that feeling, it's hard to duplicate that feeling. But if you just take it for what it is, that's a dope movie, bro. Like, I'm
a movie, man. I mean, those young actors, they are killing it.
Yeah.
In the fact, so I thought it is really, really fast. Mm-hmm. This is a technology thing. So the first one was 2009. And then the second one was 2022.
Yep.
Now this third one is coming out this year, 2025. So look at how quickly the technology is evolving. It took them, from 2009 to 2022, what's that, 13 years?
Yeah.
It took them 13 years to make the second one, and it only took them 3 years to make the third one. So that just shows you how the technology is evolving, right? But and I just want to throw it out there for my nerdy tech guys. But it's just, you know, this CGI AI stuff is crazy, but at the end of the day, it will never replace genuine human connection. Yeah. And no matter who you are, when you see two actors honestly connecting on camera, you're going to be drawn in. And that's why I love those movies.
So listen, so boom. So I'm glad you said that because this is the thing that I wanted to say that we kind of differ a little bit on. Okay, and my light is getting dark in here. Let me see if I can get some light in here. Hold on, let me see.
Uh-oh.
Let me see. Got a little bit.
Get real on the podcast.
All right, so I know you said that stage versus film.
Yeah.
You said that stage, your words now, and I'm almost verbatim with this. Y'all can rewind it. And
yeah.
This. You said stage is where the real acting happens.
Yeah, yeah. I believe so.
So I am going to respectfully, and I know I got stage friends who listen.
They on my side, bro. I got Denzel on my side, bro.
I'm going to respectfully disagree. Now, I do think that in film, you have room to get away with more, right?
Right.
I definitely think you got room to get away with, you know, stuff because maybe we're paying attention to something else, or you know, maybe we color it differently so it can, you know, like, we got it's more tricks with film. I'll give you that.
Right.
But I do also feel like when it comes to film, you can't hide when the camera's here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like right here. Right. Like whatever your face is doing, whatever your voice is doing, whatever, you know, breath you took, whatever, you know, spit you swallow, you know, like, you can't hide that stuff. So, you know, granted, you know, you can, as directors and editors, we can, if you suck at it, we can cut the camera, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, do something different. But when that camera is on you, you know what I'm saying? As an actor, like, you can't, you know, you can't fake that. And I feel like, on stage, not that, you know, I mean, it's great actors like you, like Denzel, like Viola Davis, you know, like, and more, and plenty more guys. I'm
just plenty more Broadway people.
It's, you know, but I do still feel like there are, like, when it comes to camera, like that authenticity, genuineness, that realness, you know. I think on stage sometimes you have to over embellish it. Sometimes you have to overdo it for it to reach the back crowd. I feel like, and sometimes in those instances, the sincerity of the moment isn't there because you have to focus on projecting. You know what I mean?
I got you. I get what you're saying. I'm gonna say this about that. So I'm in my, like I said, I'm in grad school right now, and we take acting for the camera classes, and we filmed a few short things just for class and school purposes. And one of the things as a stage actor, when you transition into film, one of the challenges is actually exactly what you're saying, because now everything that you're so used to doing, because you have to get it out. You have to make sure people can hear you. You have to make sure that people can not only hear you, but also understand you. So that all your consonants have to be hit.
Yeah.
You know, you have the diction, your articulation, all that stuff. That you have to think about all that stuff and be honest and be present and know your lines and know your blocking all at the same time. So that's why when I say the real acting's on stage, I mean, because it's like a supernatural thing that you're doing on stage, because you're thinking about 80 million things at one time. Yeah. Now, what I will say is my experience with film is actually a lot simpler, because you can think about just one thing at a time. And the camera is going to catch that thought. So I learned this from Sydney Poitier. I'm acting like he talked to me personally, right?
But that's what I thought. I was like, oh, he called you.
I mean, everyone know me. They know Sydney. That's my guy, man. It felt like I knew him personally, right? Yeah. I read that man books like 5 times. But anyway, so Sydney was talking one day in an interview, and he was talking about how, like, this was actually in one of his books, not an interview, it was in his books. He was talking about how the camera, like, sees your thoughts. So if you're on camera, like, just really think. You don't have to try to put on something. So I actually agree with you, because stage actors go to film and we struggle at first because we're trying to put on something, because that's what we've been trained to do. You can't get on stage and not put on something, because then nobody even, like, notices you, right?
Yeah.
So when you go to camera, you don't have to do as much. Right. You can just be an honest human being.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's harder.
Hard. Yeah.
That's hard. So I'll say, I believe stage is where, like, you know, the great acting training happens. Mm-hmm. But on film, you actually have to be a human being. Yeah. And that's hard.
Yeah, and I think to echo that, I think, like you said, I think it's easier to transition from stage to film than it is the other way around.
Absolutely.
Take those. I mean, because I did it. Like, I was, you know, well, I guess I'm lying now that I think about it. I did do stage first. It was by mistake. I always forget that I acted in high school. I always forget that I did stage in high school.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, so if you don't count that, I did do a one man show, bro.
Yeah, that's hard,
man. Yeah, I did, bro. We had to do it. So it wasn't like an option. Well, no, we had the final exam or whatever, and for the theater class, it was your show. So.
That's dope.
Did a one man show, bro, and it was cool. It was really cool, man. We're not getting all that. It ain't about me. It's about you. But the point I was making is, I did do that in high school, and then, you know, after doing a whole bunch of other stupid stuff, then finding my way back to the world of, you know, entertainment and acting and film and all that. I was doing film, just film. And you know, and people said, oh man, you're such a great actor. You're so blah, blah, blah. And then I said, okay, well, let me go audition for the stage play. And, you know, I got the role, but my subtleties weren't impactful on stage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was like, we need more. And I'm like, More what? I don't have anything. Right. I don't have more. I'm soft spoken. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not really all that, you know. But but you know, we got there at least good enough for it to be filmed, right? You know, the stage play to be filmed. But I think they're, if I'm honest, I think they are both just as needed, and I think they both exercise different muscles. It's like, you know, it's like a workout, but exercising different muscles.
Facts.
And and I always say with film, if you can get that perfect marriage of the director, the actors, and the camera shot, if you get that perfect moment, it's like it's like nothing else. And the beauty of it is you get it and it's recorded.
Right. It's forever.
Bro, you can and the only thing in life that we can't repeat are moments, but on film you can watch.
There are movies I've been watching since I was like 13, and every time I watch it, I'm just like, oh my god, and that's a moment that I can repeat over and over and over again. Where theater, it's like you kind of have to be there, so it's
gotta be there.
FOMO thing, like, you should have been there. You know, I miss Denzel on Broadway. I hate that because that's a moment that will never happen again.
Yeah. And that's then in theater, you got opening night might be different than closing night. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Night. Like, night. And that's one of those things, you got to be in the room. So exclusivity to theater. Where it's like, and that also kind of, for me, that's why I say, you know, theater is a special place in my heart, because not because I've just been doing it, but because there's a special moment when that audience is locked in with you and you getting that energy, because there's such a thing as energy. And you get
100%
energy from the crowd and you feel 100%. That and you like, you give it back. That's like I get chills thinking about it, because that's why I do acting. That's why I love theater.
Yeah, I'm with you. Especially if you have like, y'all forgive me, especially if you have that night where you invited your whole church out. And all your friends and your family, and they all coming to see you that day.
Yeah.
It's just something different about that performance that day. You know what I'm saying? Those vibes, everybody wanting to see you win. And it's almost like it's a invisible connection. Mm-hmm. You know, like, man, don't get me wrong. I love stage.
Yeah.
100%. I just, you know, I feel like I'm a little more geared toward film because of the subtleties.
Right. And that feeling that we're talking about that comes with stage plays, the beautiful thing about film is that moment is captured, and audiences everywhere, anytime, can have that experience.
Everywhere, yeah.
So if you locked in truly with your scene partner and you really like giving that, I think about, this just came to my mind, I think about John Q, and it's a Denzel film, and y'all forgive me for forgetting the wife's name. My boy gonna look it up for me. Y'all forgive me. Great, and I do not want to disrespect her if I forget her name.
You good? We gonna get her now.
Yeah, because it's something that she. I think Google is betraying us right now.
Kimberly Elise. They put somebody else as the lead. I was like, wait, the driver.
So Kimberly Elise.
Yeah.
So, and John Q is one of those movies that I watch over and over again. When she found out that boy was dying, and she was like boo-hoo crying, and it's a moment where Denzel was at the door. I'm seeing it in my head. Denzel's at the door, and she's at the bed with the boy, and the numbers, I guess his blood pressure or whatever, it's like the numbers is like dropping, and she's like, her hands are like this, and she turns and looks at him like, what are we going to do? That moment, like it breaks your heart every time you watch it,
bro, man. And it's Denzel, he just always, like, I can imagine being a director on set with Denzel, like, bro, keep that camera rolling.
Facts.
No lunch breaks for you.
Just keep it rolling.
No lunch break, just go wherever Denzel go, that's where you go. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the other tricky part that I think people don't give film enough credit for too, though. Like, one of the things that you have to overcome, because if you get a moment but you don't capture it, it's so hard to run that back, bro.
That's like
the cameras ain't rolling. Yeah,
you got to catch that right face expression.
Yeah,
you got to be locked in, because if you miss it, it's hard to. And I've tried to recreate poses. I've tried to recreate face expression. Yeah. It's hard because that person is just being who they are, and like your camera's tripping and you miss it. It's like, no, that was the perfect smirk,
right, bro?
Gotta give him a smirk. Right. I don't know how to smirk. It's like,
yeah, bro. It's like, wait, do it. Do it again. Just like that.
Yeah.
What did I do?
What did I do?
What you just did. Just do that. Like,
I don't know. I've never smirked in my life. It's like,
bro.
So you're right. You as a cinematographer, or you know, I guess it's what, DP, director of photography.
Yeah, director of photography.
You gotta be locked in. Like, you know, you gotta watch the moments, like, no, this is the shot. Like, whatever you do, do not stop rolling.
Nothing upsets me more on a set than a person who is so devoted to the technical stuff that they are not paying attention to the story, that they are not paying attention to what's going on. Because, bro, like, get your stuff fixed and together before you get here.
Right.
You here before us anyway. Right. So get your stuff together. Like, let these people do their thing. I hate when I tell you it
I know, man.
Pees me off so bad to call action and then get a good, you know, a really good moment. And then for the DP to say, oh man, I wasn't rolling. Oh man, it was the something.
The quickest way to get fired, bro.
All right, everybody go home.
I quit, man.
It was something else you had said. I can't remember what it was. I should have wrote it down. I've been taking notes, but I didn't do good. Anyway, all right, we gotta wrap it up soon. I'm about my thing cuts off in 9 minutes. But
we're doing good.
We're doing pretty good. Yeah. Covering a lot, bro.
You can go 3 hours, bro. They don't know.
Yeah. This is what your photography stuff. So, one thing that I love about your photography, bro. Me and my wife talk about it all the time. It makes you feel like you're a part of like an exclusive club. You know what I'm saying? Or like, I like, because I've never got it from you, right? Like, you know, you've done like other shoots for me or whatnot, but like, I've never had a photo shoot of myself. But like, facts. But like, when I see your stuff, I'm like, dang! Like, you can walk down the street, see one of your DK did that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh man,
it's so unique, bro. It's so refreshing, man. And it's like I said, it feels like that exclusive, like members only. You know what I'm saying?
To use that, actually, I need to.
You should, bro. You should like
that way.
That's bro. It's so dope, man. And like I don't how did you come up with that? Like the way that you edit the photos and like what was the, you know what I'm saying?
So. I'll try to keep this really brief because my photography journey happened by accident. I did not want to be a photographer. That wasn't a plan. I went to school. I did fine arts. I did the theater department. It was a liberal arts school, so we had to take other art classes. And I took a film photography class. And I was the only person without a camera. I was using my phone. That's a film photography class, but I'm using my phone, right?
Wow.
I'm already off, right? Until my professor let me borrow a camera. But my professor told me, she said, you have vision. She said, just on your phone, the way that you see the world, you have vision. Shout out to Jenny Southworth. She's my photography professor. Saw something in me. I didn't see it in myself. I'm a photographer today because of her. Shout out to Jenny. She said, you have vision, right? She said, keep shooting. So I kept shooting.
Yeah.
And what I learned is that, you know, we all see the world differently.
Yeah.
I heard someone say that you see the world as you are. And I was like, wait, what? And he was saying, like, everything that's inside of you informs how you view the world. And I was like, whoa. Okay, cool. So it goes back. This is a good tie-in to what we talked about earlier about becoming, right?
Yeah.
So I was already an actor, right? So I was already an artist in that right. But being an actor, being an artist kind of informed me on how to view the world. So I started to look for the beauty everywhere.
Wow.
And that changed. And this is before I got a camera. I was using my phone. This is before I got a camera. It changed how I took pictures because I started to look for what's the story because I'm an actor. So I started taking pictures as an actor, kind of as a director, maybe a DP. Right. You see what I'm saying? Like it, tied. So I'm viewing the world as if I'm telling the story.
Yeah.
So that's how that kind of informed how I started taking pictures. I just wanted to tell stories.
Yeah.
So if this part of your face is lit and this part is completely black, what does that story tell? So I start playing with shadows. Okay, what's in the shadow? What happens when there's no light? What's the story in the no light area? Yeah. Okay, what does the light do when I shine it this way? What happens if I turn my model this way and the camera's over here? What does that make this side of the face now becomes more interesting because you can't really see it? So if I put some light there, oh, now I got a moody shot. So I started actually kind of like as a cinematographer, really. And then I started getting interested about color. What story does color tell? Yeah. I started messing with color gels. I started messing with, you know, storytelling elements, some costume stuff. So all that kind of leads to my work now, 2025, where it's always going to be bold colors.
Yeah.
You're always going to have shadows somewhere in there. You know, even if it's not on some bright stuff, I can do bright stuff, obviously. But it's always going to be some moodiness to it. There's always going to be a story. I'm real big on face expressions and, like, emotions. And all of that just kind of became, I guess, the exclusive club.
Yeah. It's Exclusive Club. Y'all, everybody join the club now. Go get your membership.
Because I post pictures, people be like, man, I don't got a picture. It's like, come on, hit me up.
Yeah. Bro, listen, I swear dog, we could talk forever. Like this ain't even normal. Like we talk about film all the time. We talk about family all the time. We talk about God, of course, all the time. Shout out to the Most High.
All the time.
And we could talk forever, bro. But I appreciate you coming. You know what I'm saying? Man. I hate to wrap it, but hour is the cutoff until I get more subscribers and more viewers so I can pay for the package that has unlimited time.
There you go. Hey, y'all, subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the podcast. ASAP. Onions. It's completely free to subscribe. You pay for everything else in life. For this, it's just free. Just subscribe, right? So y'all show love to my boy. This is my big brother, man. I appreciate you for having me on the podcast.
Thank you, bro. Thank you for finding the time, bro. Thanks for coming through and talking, bro. Man, it's a blessing, man. And keep doing what you're doing, bro. Like, you know, I always tell you, you don't know. I know you have people that you are directly responsible for as a man of God, as a husband, as a father. Yeah. But, bro, there are so many other people that are glued in and locked into your story, bro. So keep being you, man.
I appreciate it. I'm gonna say this before we end. I'm gonna say this. I'm leave your followers with this. So when I was 16, Corey looked at me. It was at a rehearsal. We just finished a rehearsal, and I think I was 16, maybe just turned 17. It was before I went to college. Corey looked at me and said, "Man, there's something inside of you. There's like a light in you, and one day people are gonna see you and be like, where did you come from?" I don't know if you remember this, bro. I was sitting on a couch. It was like a red couch. We rehearsing like a little living room scene.
Yeah.
Like, and I want to say your wife was there at the time. I don't think y'all were married yet, but I want to say she was there as part of rehearsal. I don't know why. Yeah, I think she was there like helping you. And and you said there's something in you, man. And people are going to see you one day and be like, where did you come from? And you told me, keep going. And I've been going ever since, man. So thank you for seeing something in me.
Bless you, bro.
Bro, over 10 years ago, man. Bless you, bro. 10 years ago. So this is a full circle moment, man.
For sure, man. Bro.
Yeah,
bro. Y'all stay in touch with DK, man. Hey, it's nothing but love, bro.
Hey, appreciate y'all for having me.
Always, man. We got to do it again, too.
Yeah, this is just part one.
Yeah. And we got to do it with the other guys, too.
We'll
talk about that next time.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, bro. Be easy. Thank y'all for tuning in to No Onions Podcast.
Yes, sir.